Listeners, did you know each year Americans throw away 25% more trash from Thanksgiving to New Year's? This year, let's turn our New Year's resolution into actions that make a difference by switching to Blue Land. An estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year. And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. It's a lose-lose situation for us and the planet. But Blue Land has made it their mission to do something about it. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful, cohesive design that looks great on your counter. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Refills start at just $2.25. Tab and I are loving Blue Land. We love how great the products work and smell, and the space saving from just having refillable tablets to store instead of bulky bottles is great. Also, we love having it shipped to our doors. It's so convenient and just one less thing to think about at the grocery store. And hello, Blue Land saves you money and helps the planet. What is not to love about that? Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/clink for 15% off. That's blueland.com/clink to get 15% off. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Housewives of True Crime. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
How are you?
Oh, I'm
Fabtabulous.
Your favorite freaking word.
Only can when I can remember it. But I'm taking the alpha brain now, so I feel like my memory is on fire.
Oh, yeah. There's still that memory pill you keep telling me to buy, but I don't remember to buy it.
It's actually funny because I went to dinner on Saturday night and I met some new people. And then the next day I was like retelling a story and I remembered their names. My friends were like, dude, how do you remember their names? Because I never remember names. And I was like, I think it's this.
That true story. You never remember names.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, even when you research them for 2 weeks and you do a whole case about them.
I know. So weird. But maybe I will start. Anywho, if anybody wants it, it's not one of our sponsors, but it's called Alpha Brain.
It's working for Tab.
It seems to be working. It's not cheap, so better work.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guess what?
What?
I went to Vegas for the weekend and I am like not even hungover. I'm fine. Everyone was so like, you know, because I went with children.
You brought with your kids. So there's like, what time did you go to bed? Like 10 o'clock?
Something like that.
Yeah. Then that is the perfect way to go to Vegas because then you don't get hungover.
You know, I was really like one of those anti taking the children to Vegas people.
Yeah, we both have been.
And it still is a little tricky, right? Mm-hmm. But I find there are some valuable lessons you can teach them. Mm-hmm. You know?
Like don't take your clothes off.
What
is it?
Like you can drink anything by the yard as long as you walk, right?
Well, to like walk off the sugar content, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
In Vegas, it looks like you could go hotel to hotel in like 5 minutes, but it's actually 5 miles.
It is. It takes a long time, but I let them get those drinks by the yard, which by the way, my daughter got this one at the sugar factory that's really cute that looks like a rubber ducky at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And someone asked us if it was a bong on the airplane. So that was fun. Then we got to explain to our kids what a bong was. So that was another valuable lesson in Vegas. They also learn the joys of gambling. Watching me.
Well, that's fun.
That is totally fun. My son and my husband went to the UFC fight. So my son also learned that, you know, savage brutality is okay if people pay to watch it.
Or not.
Or not.
Gretchen tried to get me to come to that fight also. I was like, nothing about UFC excites me.
I know. You know what is kind of funny is I'm not really into it. I'm like just a good wife. You know, my husband is into it. I did used to back in the day, way before we had kids, we used to like to go to UFC fights and I just like live events and, you know, you go to those events and there's like old ladies with like bedazzled jean jackets and they got their fighters and I make friends with them and then we all have a good time. This event was at the Sphere and the Sphere is just such an insane, awesome venue and mind-blowing, but my husband said the like vibe, it like kind of took away from that.
You know, like the energy for anybody to go to.
No, but just the energy of like that like live event, like energy.
Because it was like not live.
Because
it was live, but then it was like,
but there's so much extra like entertainment because there's all this screen stuff going on that it was like actually pretty quiet. He said people actually yelled out like, "It's too quiet in here."
Oh yeah, I could see that. Especially the video Gretchen sent me of like the opening scene and it was so crazy and so good. So that part I do enjoy of that UFC fight that he went to.
Yes. And as Tab said, the tickets were really expensive and we didn't have childcare. So I sent my husband and my son and the girls and I went and saw Blue Man Group.
Yeah, that's fun. We've done that.
Because we didn't want those tickets to go to waste. Also, very fun.
Yeah. It's good with kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good show to do with kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are options.
There are options.
And I'm being sarcastic about teaching my kids how to gamble and stuff, but inevitably they do kind of learn it's fun.
But not too fun, because when it gets too fun, it could be a disaster.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
As we have seen on the podcast lots of times.
Yeah. But when they're walking through the casinos, they see somebody hit a jackpot and they're like, that lady is so happy. And I'm like, and we're so happy for her.
Yeah, so true. We wish it was us, but we're happy for them. Yeah. Did you see somebody in Dripping Springs, Texas, which I know two people that live in, won the big, big lottery? I think $820 million.
Oh, good for them.
And so my friend Audrey lives there. So I was like, girl, did you win this? And she was like, my husband says to not affirm or deny. I was like, I hope that means yes.
Oh, I hope that means yes too.
I know. That'd be so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, but then you can come visit with your 7 children.
She needs that money. That's a lot of college to pay for.
Oh my God. Oh, I can't even think about it.
Yeah.
I can't even think about it. All right. So you have stuff to talk about today other than gambling and winning the lottery. Okay.
Okay, Tab, today's case is a listener suggestion, and I'm so excited to tell you about Sophie Allen, who lives in the UK and gave me this UK suggestion.
Oh, thanks, Sophie.
Sophie, it has been a minute since we mentally traveled to the UK for research purposes, and this reminded me that I should do more of it because we are going in June 2025 to the Crime Con.
We should start doing more.
We should start doing more, right?
Yeah. Send us your UK suggestions.
Yeah.
We have a few in the books, but yeah.
Also, Tab, I lurked on Sophie's profile and it looks like she lives about 2 hours from London. So I'm pretty sure she could just round up a couple pals and come see us.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Save the date. Sophie, the date. June 2025 for the Crime Con UK.
Okay. Well, this case is the case of Mr. John Darwin. John and his wife, Anne, lived in Seton Carew, which is where it all went down. In 2003, the population was 6,000, and now it's around 7,000 20 years later. So, I mean, it's not really booming.
No, it's not big.
But it looks like my jam. It's a small coastal town about 5 hours from London, so I don't think we're going to side trip there. John and Anne met when they were just wee lads in grammar school, but Anne never thought much about John until she was around 20. John was 22. He started coming around the shop she was working at and asking her to get things off the top shelf and asking her on dates. She didn't initially agree because she said she was intimidated by John. After all, he had gone to university and she had not. By the way, Anne, that makes me so sad. College is not for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
Don't be down on yourself like that.
I don't like that. Anne. Anne. Is Anne still around? Hopefully.
Anne is still around. Yes. Okay, the vibe I get from Anne is she definitely doesn't give herself enough credit, you know, or really assert herself. Well,
thank you.
Thanks.
It's true. You don't give yourself enough credit a lot of times.
Okay. Thanks. Maybe she meant that
you're
as a compliment.
Smart.
I just assume.
No, I do. You're a real smart cookie.
I flipped her off. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah,
why?
I did.
When I said that.
You weren't even looking. Yeah.
No, I wasn't looking at the camera right then. But thanks for flipping me off, Effer.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Anytime. Some,
go
probably
ahead.
Nobody's done it this week. So you get flipped off a lot.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Anywho, back to John and Anne already. Okay. John is pretty much the opposite of Anne and me, apparently, who doesn't give herself enough credit or assert herself. John is like big, boastful personality, you know, but opposites attract. John's perseverance of pestering Anne at the shop paid off and she agreed to go out with him. Their first date was to a bowling alley, which is so much better than a movie. I like it a lot.
I do too.
Yeah, that's a good one. Like breaks the ice, gives you something to do, something to talk about. More people should go on first dates, bowling. From there on, they were an item. Anne found John romantic. He would bring her back stones shaped like hearts from walks, and she thought he had a great sense of humor. And so when he proposed, she said, yes. John worked as a teacher and Anne as a receptionist at a doctor's office, and they had 2 sons. They led a comfortable life of sorts, but John and Anne's relationship is not what I would call healthy. It's one of those situations where the not so healthy dynamic was not like super obvious in the beginning, but showed itself over time. John took advantage of Anne's conflict avoiding nature and made decisions without her in mind. And then she resented that, but she held it all inside because she is a good Catholic and she avoids conflict. A perfect example of this showed itself when Anne was in labor with their first child. At the time when she gave birth, husbands were allowed in the room during labor, but not in the OR during a C-section. So after hours of laboring, Anne had to have an emergency C-section, and John decided he might as well go home. When Anne pleaded with him to stay and meet his son momentarily, he said he had only accompanied his wife to the hospital because he was going to actually see with his eyeballs his first child being born. So since he wasn't going to actually see it, come out or cooch, I guess, I don't know. He went home and did not come back until the next day.
Dude, he sounds like a total asshole. Yeah. Could you imagine?
No. No. And also, by you know, I had a C-section. It's like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and your wife just had surgery, fucker.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay. So Anne had loads of examples of John putting himself first and mm-hmm. being, you know, a real selfish prick. But that one just really stuck with me because I can't imagine. But the dynamic between John and Anne is not all on John. You know, there is the whole you treat people, you teach people how to treat you.
Sure.
And Anne tolerated his bad behavior and enabled it in many ways. You're not totally off the hook, Anne. Although I like you a lot. Okay. Anne didn't make waves. And she thought she just had to kind of, you know, go along to get along with John. And she was really in it to win it till death do us part. When one of their boys started selling items door to door from a catalog as a way to make some extra money for himself, John fancied the woman who was in charge of the catalog hustling children and confronted the woman and John, but they still carried on the affair for weeks after she found out. It wasn't until the woman's husband actually found out and threatened John that they put an end to it. Anne didn't even consider leaving John then or down the road when she learned of another affair. Anne was content with the simple things in life, but John was always restless. He escaped reality playing the online game EverQuest, which is where you create a... No, this EverQuest game is huge. You create a character and then you chat with other players. Did you know?
Okay. No, I've never heard of
it. Okay, and it was developed. People are into this shit. It's like where you get to like become another person, but they're all like fantasy people.
Okay.
And it was developed like early, you know, 2000s.
Okay. People still play it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's chatting in the EverQuest, thinking about his fantasy life. And after 18 years of teaching, which it sounds like he never really liked. I feel like I had a lot of teachers that never really liked teaching. Mm-hmm. So shout out to all those high school math students that had John Darwin as a teacher. Okay. It wasn't in your head. He was an asshole.
Well, also had a friend that taught for a minute and then she's like, this is not for me.
Yeah. At least she gave it up after like only like a year.
I know.
Yeah. Well, John decided to leave teaching and go work for Barclays Bank. But that was not for him either. And he left after a year and moved on to working as a prison officer. Fascinating choice of career changes. According to John's coworkers at the prison, he was more social with the inmates than the staff. He played cards with them and had like a reputation for being on the lazy side. Mm-hmm. They didn't particularly care for him, and it sounds like you can't blame them so much because by 2002, John fancied himself a BFD. Big fucking deal. By this time, John and Anne's son were grown and out of the house and, you know, living out of town. John and Anne were living in a substantial multi-unit waterfront situation in Seton Carew. In addition to their not-so-humble abode, John had acquired 12 rental properties in the area. John also got himself a Range Rover and was exuding a ridiculous amount of hot shit attitude. The irony, of course, is that he hadn't really acquired any newfound wealth. He just acquired newfound debt. So lame. Mm-hmm. Somehow John had finagled a way to actually buy these relatively inexpensive properties using credit cards, which he thought was brilliant, but it hadn't completely panned out like he envisioned because owning these rentals meant endless hours of work dealing with tenants and collecting from them. And additionally, he was now in a boatload of debt and he couldn't keep up with it. And there also was some reason the mortgage on the rental units were all tied together. So he couldn't just sell off a few to stay afloat. You know, he was really like up a creek without a paddle.
Right.
So what to do? You know, certainly bankruptcy was not a logical option for John. That would mean that his hot shit mojo would be, you know, like cold shit, right?
No one, hot shit turns old shit.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants cold shit, yeah. Right? Least of all John, he's that guy. You know, he's that guy that thinks he's better than people because he has things.
Yeah.
Yeah, those kind of people are balls. So John came up with a plan to avoid giving up his things. And as you can imagine, Anne went along with the plan.
Oh, so she knew the plan, unfortunately.
She knew the plan. Yeah. She pleaded with him to just file for bankruptcy. And she knew John's plan was an awful idea. But she did he told her to do because she was now kind of conditioned to do it after spending decades with John.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what John's plan entailed was John took a canoe out to sea and went for a paddle and didn't come back. At least that's what Anne reported to the police and everyone.
Oh my God. That is so
Yeah. By the way, it was really awful timing because one of her sons had just proposed to his girlfriend on holiday. And then they had to still like on it. They had to get this whole call that his father is missing at sea.
Is it ever a good time, Gretchen?
I think that's extra bad. I mean, you know, from someone who got their wedding pissed on, I think that it's just like, let people have their moments.
My God.
Jesus Christ, you know? So could you not wait like another week?
No. That's perfect timing. Like, so who would do that if you're
to their son?
Yeah.
So mean. Okay. All right. Well, Anne managed to convincingly tell the police and her friends, extended family, and her own sons that John was missing. In reality, she had picked him up at another beach and driven him to a train station where he traveled to a B&B and then left there to go camp for a couple weeks. There was a search, of course, for John. Coast Guard, helicopter, you know, the whole big effort. But eventually they concluded that John had likely got caught up in the shipping lane during his paddle and somehow lost his canoe.
But they never found the canoe, or they did?
Eventually they found the canoe, yeah. Okay. I mean, but side note to all you non-boat people, did you know there is a shipping lane in the ocean?
No, actually.
I did not know that until I started working on boats. It's like where the barges and stuff like come through.
Uh-huh.
And it's on, I mean, you better stay out of their way because they do not stop. It's like the fucking ocean freeway.
How do you know?
No, it's on the map. And like that little like radar thing.
Yeah.
Well, not really radar, but whatever, you know, that other thing is that shows you GPS or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It shows like when you're in the shipping lane.
Okay.
You know, like it's possible he could have.
Uh-huh.
After 2 days of search efforts, authorities concluded John was likely dead. You know, fair enough, right? The insurance company wasn't so quick to come to the same conclusion, even after John's canoe. I told you they found it. They found it on another beach, like beaten up. But no John, just the canoe. So this was not the insurance company's first rodeo, and they weren't the only ones sus in regards to John being MIA. His former coworkers at the prison thought something didn't add up, for one, because they had long thought that, you know, John was full of shit, hot or cold, however you have it. And two, because he cleaned out his locker the last day he worked. So that's a bit of a giveaway, right?
Yeah.
Well, as for the insurance company, they tell Anne they are not going to pay her out until John is declared dead officially. So Anne had to really lay it on thick that she needed the declaration for closure purposes, is why she said. Because, you know, if you don't get that, like, declared dead by the coroner, it takes 7 years.
Oh, 7 years.
Uh-huh. I mean, apparently it's the same in the UK as it is here. It's seven years without a body until you're officially dead.
Considered dead. Okay.
Yeah. So it's pretty incredible, actually, that they caved, because her whole pitch is like way sus. First off, John, not a big canoer. Then he goes out canoeing in the evening in the UK.
In the shipping
in
lane.
In March. Yeah, close to the shipping lane.
It's really freaking cold, by the way.
Yeah, it is. And he's got some financial challenges.
And he cleans out his locker.
Yeah, and he found the money to purchase a life insurance policy just a few weeks prior.
Oh, God, John, he's not looking good, buddy.
I know. Well, so a lot of people are suspicious, but everyone involved in the investigation as to whether or not John was, you know, fraudulent-fucking them assumed that he would make contact with Anne. So they tracked her calls. But what they didn't know was that she was in touch with John regularly. He was calling her at home from a payphone because the phone company had left a line connected in the house that they had just bought, this big multi-unit shebang.
Oh, but it wasn't theirs.
But they never were billed for it.
Yeah.
And so the number was not listed for them, and Anne didn't disclose that. That kind of crazy stuff does happen.
Well, that happened to me at one point in my life where we never were getting charged for water. We didn't even kind of know, because you know how sometimes it like all comes in one bill, like yeah. Water and trash or something. But we were getting charged for trash, but no water for like 3 years.
Did you ever have to like pony up that cash?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think that was
a good deal.
Yep. It was a good deal for sure. But it's also like, how are they going to like go back and be, I mean, that would be a
big, I don't know. I feel like if it was me, they would find a way.
I know. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think so. But I'm actually not positive. My husband does the bills.
Well, you don't live there anymore. So
true.
It's all good. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So John was calling Anne while he was camping, instructing her on how to keep the big lie going. And he wanted her to wrap it up because he was real sick of camping. John's not a big camper. He had decided on a location where he would lay low for a while now that he was dead, but he couldn't go there until everyone was done coming and going from his house, because where he had decided to lay low was his house. There were connecting doors between Anne's unit and the unit next door. So Anne made up a phony tenant agreement, and the unit next door was only walked through once by authorities because it was supposedly some random's house. Mm-hmm. For the next few years, when they would hear someone pull into their gravel driveway, they would peer out the window and assess if John had to go next door. Anne was shocked. John's plan seemed to have worked. She collected the insurance money, paid off all the mortgages, and sold the properties off one by one. The financial burden was lifted, but the burden of keeping up the lie was still weighing on her constantly.
Dude, you have to keep up that lie forever.
Like, yeah.
When does he get to come back and be John?
Okay, well, we're at minute 29, so I would say minute 43. Yeah. Okay. I'm guessing. Okay. John was delighted the plan was still working, but you know, John wasn't about to just stay at home dead. He went on walks. He just figured no one would recognize him because he grew a beard. But they did. One of his former coworkers spotted him and reported it to the police, and they called up Anne and told her there was a reported sighting of John, and they asked her if she had seen him, and she just said no. And that was the end of it.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't even knock on her door. So John also traveled internationally. How, you ask?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty unbelievable. John read some book about a man who steals the identities of children that die at a young age. So John found an infant with the name John Jones that had died at 5 months old, but would be the same age as John Darwin now by going through the microfilm of death notices at the library. Then he requested the birth certificate. And from there, he used the birth certificate to get a library card, which he became real frequent and friendly with the librarian. mm-hmm. who apparently held an official enough title to vouch for him to get a passport without any wow. other form of ID, but the library card and a birth certificate.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's a little trickier these days.
I think so.
Let's hope.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Pay client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing. Involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor has been bugging me about. Get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC. So John ordered up the passport and had it delivered to the unit next door to him and Anne's main unit, you know, John June's mm-hmm. passport. John wanted to find a place where him and Anne could, you know, chill out in the open. First, they went to Greece, but that didn't shake out, and he lost some money trying to secure land or something boring. Then they did something not, I shouldn't say they, because it was just John. He did something not so boring. He went to the US of A. He visited the state of Kansas. He became friendly with a woman named Kelly that he met online playing the EverQuest game.
So I was going to wonder, he's still playing this EverQuest game on his original John
Well, actually, you know, they took his computer in at the beginning, but they gave it back.
Okay. And it's a computer game, not cell phone game. Like they
it's a computer game. Yeah. So this Kelly woman told John that if he had some money to invest, she could set him up with some cattle and she could help him make a living off of it in, you know, Kansas.
Okay.
So John sent her over $50,000 and told Ann he was going to, you know, get his Kansas on. Ann was not thrilled for one. She did not love that he was so friendly with this Kelly woman, given his history. And for two, she did not want him banging this Kelly woman, given his history. Okay.
Yeah.
And alleges that she found some saucy pics that Kelly sent to John. So it wasn't just his history. You know, she had good reason to think he was going to bang it out with Kelly.
Yep.
But of course,
Kelly from Kansas.
Powerless Ann did not stop him, and John went to Kansas. But Kansas is where some of his crooked karma caught up with him. First of all, Kansas was not what he expected. I don't know what you expected, John. Everyone knows that Kansas is not like monumentally scenic. They don't even make it look exciting in The Wizard of Oz, okay? I've driven through Kansas. What I saw is exactly what I expected. A lot of farms, flat. Well,
tomatoes.
Yeah.
No.
Thanks. John describes it as crapsville.
Like craps, like
not like fun craps. Like, I think craps like your butt.
Shit.
Yeah. And then you are going to love this. John, the fraudifucker, got fraudifucked by Kelly.
I knew it.
She
sent $50,000 to me. Okay.
She took his money and transferred it to her husband. And told John something like she was thinking that there was some confusion about the money because she had thought it was cool if she used some of it for her own cattle needs. And she just didn't feel like giving any of it back. She didn't bang him either, according to Kelly's husband. At least that's what he told the Daily Mail. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He probably wouldn't really admit to it anyways.
I don't know that her husband would know, but maybe he did know. Maybe he was in on it like the whole time. Because he got the money.
Well, I was thinking maybe he found the picture and then he was like, what the actual whatever? And no, we're not going to sell this guy any cattle and I'm taking his money and he better like go back to where he came from.
Which is what happened. He flew back home with his tail between his legs, having lost money that Anne had been lying her ass off to get for him. She was pissed and they were not experiencing marital bliss. She said she kind of liked when he was in Kansas, not having him around, you know.
Yeah, she probably had so much stress off of her.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're totally putting up this front for your life, like, that is a big, like, your stomach would always be in knots.
It's very stressful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was relieved to not be putting out all the time since, like, John had been pressuring her to do so and she hadn't really felt like it since the whole lie started because it was so stressful for her. You know, ladies need to be like in a proper headspace to bang. Men, not so much.
Yeah.
And this, Anne says, was a big wedge in between her and John and their relationship. It's pretty unbelievable on so many levels at this point. One, that John is just like globetrotting with a fake passport and not sweating it at all. And he was also so brazen and pissed at Kelly, he sent her emails that said something like he had affiliations with organized crime that lived in New York and they were going to be coming for her. I mean, come on. So Kelly reported those threats to the FBI, who reached out to John and explained to him that the threatening could get him into big trouble.
Yeah.
But of course, they didn't know that in addition to sending the threats, he was, you know, like faking dead in the UK. John's experience with Kelly killed his American dream. You know, thank you, Kelly. We have enough fraudifuckers in America already. And so he moved on to his next destination, Panama. Anne made the trip to Panama with John before she agreed to it, but she liked it. The weather, the people, the beauty, and it was relatively inexpensive. So she was on board. She wanted to be able to live freely, and she couldn't imagine anyone would recognize John in South America. Her and John went with a realtor to look for places to buy, and the one that showed them around took their picture like he did with all of his clients. He liked to collect, you know, the smiling faced pictures of buyers and put those people on his website. So John and Ann moved to Panama. Ann went home, sold her house in Seton Carew, packed up her things, and explained to her boys that it was time for her to have an adventure at this point in her life. They were surprised by her choice. You know, Panama is kind of random, but supportive. Mm-hmm. So she goes back to Panama, and John gives her some news that he's known for a while, but didn't feel like he needed to share right away. It was that he was not going to be able to get a visa that would allow him to stay in Panama. They had implemented a policy that someone in law enforcement had to write a letter to vouch for you. And, you know, that's going to be pretty hard for John to do in his situation. And he didn't want to bother with that anyways. It had been almost 5 years since John Darwin had, you know, air quote, died.
Yeah.
So Anne is pissed. Like, really, John? Now we're going to have to go to another country? And he said, well, no. He's just going to go back and tell them that he had amnesia in the UK. He figured he would have to pay back the money from the insurance company, but now they could afford that. Anne could just stay in Panama and wait for him to take care of it all, and then they would go from there. Their backup plan, in case, you know, nobody bought that he had amnesia, was that Anne didn't know that he faked his own death until way down the road. So she wouldn't get into any, you know, legal trouble for being a part.
You guys, of this the doesn't work.
Plan to, yeah, fraudulate. Yeah, no, it's not good. Yeah, right. So John walked into a police station and said he didn't know who he was. And the police were like, really? Because you look like you've been taking care of yourself. You know, he didn't show up all like dirty and homeless.
And it looks like
he showed up looking like normal. Yeah. Yeah. Mistake one. Right, okay.
Yeah. Like, no, actually it looks, yeah.
Mistake two was John got impatient and was like, oh, my name might be John Darwin.
Oh my God. Oh my God. This guy is not the brightest crayon in the box.
Yeah. They were like, that's a really interesting type of amnesia you have. Just comes back. Yeah.
Especially in high pressure situations when I'm talking to the police. It really comes back then.
Yeah. You just have to ask multiple times. That kind of amnesia. Okay. Oh, got it. Okay. So fast forward to they look up John Darwin and they thought, you know, holy guacamole, this is the missing canoe guy.
Yeah.
So they call John's sons, who could not believe it, of course. They, you know, they are thrilled he was alive. They called their mother, like, you know, mom, come back. Dad's alive. And Anne's like, oh, yeah, that's nice. I have some things I should take care of over here in Panama. And so I'll catch up.
Oh, my God. They're like, mom, isn't it?
With him later.
So glad you didn't ever meet anybody else, mom. Get remarried.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, her sons found her behavior like not like I'll be on a plane tomorrow.
Yeah. Like a little strange.
Odd. Yeah. And so did the police. And of course, the police investigated. It did not take them very long to put together that John's death had been a hoax. They visited the place in Seton Carew that Anne had recently moved out of, and it came together pretty quickly from there. Mail was coming to the place with the name John Jones, the identity that he had stolen. And John had left behind a copy of the book that inspired his identity stealing idea. And the detective was familiar with the book. So he saw that and was like, oh, that's how he did it. And it took him less than an hour. He searched for children that had passed away with that John Jones name and Darwin's age and put it together. Yeah. From there, he knew that John Darwin was masquerading as John Jones. And he pulled up the John Jones passport, which clearly had John Darwin's picture on it. Busted. Okay. Double busted, because the passport had been sent to their home in Seton Carew only a month after John Darwin had died. So now that shows that Anne has been knowing he was not dead basically the whole time. but she did not think that they would know that. The fact that he was back from the dead was a huge story, as you can imagine, and a journalist wanted to speak with the wife in Panama that was not coming to see her husband back from the dead. He went to Panama and knocked on Anne's apartment door, and she let him in, and he was very kind to her and basically explained to her that it was unraveling in the UK and that John was not a victim of, everybody knew that John was not a victim of amnesia. She went with plan B for her response. She told him that she knew John faked his death, but not until after and not until recently. Well, he's not buying it, because while he is sitting with Anne, he got an email with a time-stamped photo of Anne and John and that real estate agent marked 18 months ago. When the canoe man story had hit the news, someone had simply Googled John and Anne in Panama, and the photo came up.
No.
So the journalist told Anne it was only a matter of time before other journalists would come knocking and it will be chaos, but if she would let him, he would help her get back and turn herself in. And he did. They were on a flight to Miami in 2 hours and then back to the UK. She gave him the real story and he gave her a shoulder to cry on. And she is still very thankful for the kindness he showed her before she faced the wrath for what she participated in. And she definitely faced the wrath. While all this was going down, her sons were investigated. And of course, they hadn't known anything about it. But they realized over the last few years, Anne had asked them to do some banking for her, and that made it look like they knew. Also, they were mad as hell at both of their parents, understandably, of course, for putting them through all this, you know, and they were about to be more mad for that if this was going to mess up their lives now. So this is pretty brutal. Her sons released a statement that said they were disgusted by their parents' actions and had no plans to ever speak with them again.
Yeah.
You know, of course, this is like heartbreaking to Anne. And more heartbreaking than her inevitable arrest. Her and John were both arrested and charged with fraud and deception in 2008. John took a plea deal and was sentenced to 6.5 years. Anne pled not guilty and went to trial. Her attorney argued it was marital coercion.
Uh-huh.
Anne said she knew she would still be found guilty, but she just thought if the jury understood marital coercion that they would show her like a little leniency, but they did not. She was sentenced to 6 years and 7 months. She got 2 more months than John.
Dude, I am happy that she did not get more, because I was scared she was going to get like 10 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Guilty,
right?
Like, just plead guilty.
Anne. Yeah.
You are guilty.
Well, and she, both of her boys had, because she went to trial, both of the boys had to testify. Dragging them into it did not, you know, help the relationship. They didn't appreciate that.
No. And, you know, like, listen, I think they got into really bad financial position and they made some really irrational choice to try to get out of it. So you can see where they were at. But this hoopla of like, I'm not guilty because my husband, they did it together. I mean, God forbid she picked him up. Like,
okay, listen, I do see your point, right? But, and I do think Anne is in a better place now, but I think at the time she was still this person that just did whatever she was advised to do. And she had an attorney who's like, I could argue marital coercion. And she's like, okay, if you say so.
Yeah. But now she knows.
Yeah, she definitely knows. Okay. So while in prison, John wrote Anne, well, John and Anne both wrote letters to each other. John would ask her where they should live when this was all over, you know, and day-to-day prison stuff. And then one day he asked her if she minded if he acquired a female pen pal. Anne was like, oh, really? Like, you be asking for permission to talk to ladies? That's something new, right? I think that Anne should send that lady pen pal that started writing John a giant muffin basket. Because of her, Anne was able to finally let John go.
God, thank
and
God.
Divorce, I mean, his arse. Yeah.
I divorced his butt a long time ago when he went to Kansas. And it's like, dude, Anne, you're putting up with all this shit? For what,
totally.
Dude?
Like, you're going to go to prison.
And by the way,
go to prison. Oh, listen, God. Teresa left Joe. It's fine. I don't know who can withstand a prison sentence. Well, this woman sold the letters her and John exchanged to the Daily Mirror. And in these letters, John begged her to bang him. You know? And this was the last humiliation for Anne. I mean, she's sitting there in the prison. The ladies in the prison have nothing to talk about, but you know what's going on in the tabloids.
And there it is.
And there it is. And she's like, and they're probably in her ear going, you're better than this, Anne.
And she is better than this.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. But so up until this point, she had a lot of guilt about the big D, you know.
No, it's fine. Listen.
Yeah, it's fine.
A lot of times we say don't do it, but then a lot of times we say do it.
Do it. Totally. So Anne wrote a book that she started in prison, and I read it, of course. Her prison experience was mostly chill. Anne was very humble about having everything she needed, and you know, it didn't hurt that the inmates kind of treated her like a celebrity of sorts. She was imprisoned with Tracy Andrews, who is a bit infamous in the UK. We did a case about her a while back. Basically, she stabbed her boyfriend and said it was road rage. Or something.
Yeah.
I don't exactly remember the details of Tracy's case. But anyways, Anne and her were among a few prisoners who were let out on Sundays to go to mass until the tabloids learned about the outings. Then they snapped away and ran with it and saying they were lovers, best friends, blah, blah, blah. You know, Anne says not so. She says she got along with Tracy, but they didn't really hang out in the clink. Mm-hmm. She did say she liked her enough to let her cut her hair. I mean, I think that's saying you liked her a lot. You know, because I think that I would be real wary about handing someone a pair of scissors, you know, next to my head that had gotten in there for being stabby.
Yes. And by the way, I don't trust a lot of people just to cut my hair, even if you've gone to school for it. So, yes. Yeah.
I do.
I don't. Hence the reason I need a haircut.
I learned my lesson with the
well, obviously you didn't, because now you...
You should vet those people that you allow to do things to your body. They'll cut you up. Yeah. Okay. Anywho, after the pictures of their church ventures made the press, they cut them off. It was like their little field trip. She looked forward to it every week. Mm. On the bright side, Anne was able to reconnect with her sons while she was still in prison. They came and visited her, and she was so grateful. One even flew to Panama and gathered up the things she had left in the apartment over there and helped her take care of selling it off and closing accounts and all that needed to be done to pay back all the restitution for her and John, which she was able to do. Her job in prison was to help women acclimate and, you know, like tell them what they could get involved with. And she took such a liking to working with women that had made bad choices and wanted to turn their lives around that when she was released, she got a job doing the same thing on the outside. She says, if she can start over, anybody can. She finished the book, and the UK has the Crime Act like we do. So you can't profit from, you know, writing about your crime, right? Yeah. So she donated the money from the book to women's charities that give them a fresh start.
Nice.
John, by the way, also wrote a book, which never saw the light of day because he wanted to skirt the whole Crime Act thing. And so he gave it to an inmate who was getting released sooner than him and thought that that man could publish it and then shuffle the money back to John. But that man conned John. And so, you know, his tales of being like a douche canoe from his own point of view, he gets to keep to himself. Or maybe he can regale his new wife, Mercy, with them. John married Mercy 2 months after meeting her in 2015. She is 23 years younger than him, but I mean, he's in his 70s. So that age difference is not like a really big deal, I don't think. Uh-huh. They live in the Philippines, where Mercy owns a storage business. John has little contact with his sons, but they have spoken. The story of John and Anne got a resurgence of attention in 2022 when a 4-part scripted series was made about them called The Thief, His Wife, and the Canoe. I watched it. I had to subscribe to BritBox, which, you know, to be able to watch it. I thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I think it was more like the Fargo movie version of events than like the real like events, meaning, you know, there was like a lot of like creative license, and it is kind of, it is kind of a funny story. So, I mean, it made for good, funny stuff. John and Anne didn't participate in the making of it. And so they didn't cash in on it either, because so much of their story was public information already. They didn't have to buy their life rights or, you know, like whatever. Their old hood in Seton Carew has capitalized on their now infamy. The hotel next door to where they used to live has a room named the Darwin Room, and they named the restaurant the Panama and the bar the Canoe Bar. John gave a televised interview at one point where he said that dying is the easy part. Coming back to life is where it gets hard. And I just am mentioning that because I think it's the smartest thing he ever said.
It's probably true. Sounded like dying was pretty easy, actually, John.
That's what he said. Dying was easy. Coming back to life was hard.
Yeah. And he couldn't bear to like not. But it's funny because all he had to do was really get himself to the Philippines in the first place, where he is now. And he could have probably lived happily ever, ever, never gone to prison.
He says that he thought of the whole thing as a loan. He always, I mean, I kind of think he's making this up, but he says that he always knew he wanted to come back.
From the dead?
Yeah.
But I do too. I think he did also.
He just never thought that he was going to get in so much. Like, he didn't think he thought he would have to pay the money back, but he wouldn't get imprisoned.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that way. That's like the, where you're like, John,
I think he's full of shit, though. I think if that cattle farm worked out in Kansas, he'd still,
maybe he would have been
still
there.
Be here. And I think if you were planning on coming back from the dead, you'd like had, if you thought about it for a minute, you'd have a better amnesia story.
Yeah.
Like, do a little more research.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. Well, that's a crazy story. And I'm glad nobody really died.
Nobody really did die. Yeah. I was wrong about the minute 43, though. I don't think he came back to like 53. Okay. So I lost that bet.
But if you want more of us, trust me, we do come back to life on Thursdays on our bonus.
So much good news to talk about this week.
And this week is going to be
it's going down on fire.
Yeah, lots of stuff in the headlines. That's what we talk about mostly. And then every week, Gretchy does a... Every month, Gretchy does a crime. So get us at patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime, or you can go to the Clink Clink Club on Apple or on Spotify. You could go to Housewives of True Crime group. And if you would like to have glowing face and moisturized skin and smell like just the most amazing thing you've ever smelled like, go to fivecrimes.com and put in the code CLINK for 25% off. That is a great support for us as we are supporting your healthy skin. Also, if you are on Facebook, we have a private group. It's called Housewives of True Crime Group, that you can follow us there. And then we also have Instagram. And then I am also on Instagram on Tab Housewife. So you can find me there. If you guys have found me on Facebook and I'm not accepting your request, then go to Instagram, Tab Housewife. I think that's all for today.
That's all for today. All okay. Right. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.